In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
The one opportunity to collect energies of wisdom. So when the energy here is strong, you feel like you're guided. It's not logical, but anything happens, you make a decision, you feel as if it is guided. You make the right decision more likely. It's like you have a good GPS, right?
All the problem, or we say disease, in terms of energy is the blockages. So whenever the blockages is cleared away, when the energy flows right, then healing starts.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Do you have your tea?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have your tea?
Did
you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just got a tea. That's your tea.
Where's your tea?
Yeah, that's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we start this podcast off with a toast? I'm here in Robert Peng's office in New York City. Robert Peng is a Qigong master who has been studying since the age of 8. And he was born and raised in Hunan, China, and he now is based out of New York City. You've learned a lot about him already from the introduction that I've given you, but it is here to his New York City offices that I have traveled via bicycle, train, car, etc. I just rode my bike 7 miles through New York City and almost got killed coming to see you on a city bike, and I breathed in a lot of New York fumes, but based on the fact that my children and I have been studying your book and your DVD for the past several months leading up to this interview and learning quite a bit about Qigong and how much it enhances the way that we feel our energy throughout the day, and how much benefit I've gotten out of your book, your audios, and your videos. I'm incredibly honored to be here. And for those of you listening in, everything Robert and I talk about today, you can go check out. Just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/peng. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/PENG. And Robert, may I raise a toast? Tell me about this tea that you've prepared.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for coming.
Is this a traditional Chinese tea?
Yeah. You see that little box?
I do.
Then the water can drain into the box.
Oh, the box there on your desk, the water drains into.
Yeah, and the two pots. One is the pot you made the tea, and the other is a pitcher, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so then when we finish, there's a drain to fill, to stop the tea leaves so that it can be pure.
This is very interesting. What is this called? What style of a tea maker is this called?
This is called for people. Kung Fu tea.
Kung Fu, as in Kung Fu
yeah,
Panda?
Yeah, Kung Fu, yeah.
Kung Fu tea.
Kung Fu tea, yeah.
I'm going to have to get one. It looks like a piece of art.
Yeah, I'll tell you later how you can get it. Kung Fu tea is a way of drinking tea. Actually, it's not really what tea it is. The way of drinking tea. Kung Fu is exactly the same word, Kung Fu. But it's not that when you're drinking tea, you're playing Kung Fu and fighting each other. Kung Fu originally...
As much fun as that would be.
Yeah, originally meaning a period of time that you dedicated very strongly. You can say, it took me 10 years of Kung Fu to reach this, triathlons. It took me 2 hours of Kung Fu to write this article. It's meaning dedicated time that you focus on. That means Kung Fu originally.
Oh, yeah. So Kung Fu is almost like this. There's a book called Deep Work.
Deep work.
And it sounds very similar to this concept of Kung Fu. Like when I wake and I write in the morning, that's my Kung Fu. It's deep work. No one is up. It's 5:30 a.m.
Exactly. You got
by myself, immersed. That's Kung Fu. And this Kung Fu tea is based on the same concept?
Yeah. Originally, it means that you take some time, but because this way of making tea, actually today I give you a bigger cup. Normally I have even with smaller ones.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, if this cup is big, I'd hate to see small. It's like the size of a shot glass.
Drinking Kung Fu meaning you don't talk about, you're not pressed with the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, I get it. So,
yeah, so it can take hours.
You're drinking tea with the affluence of time.
Yeah. Like my wife and I, sometimes we are in upstate of New York in a country house. We can drink teas for 5 hours.
Wow.
It's like...
It's almost like tea meditation.
Tea meditation.
Wow.
This is not... That is our downtime. That is
our downtime.
Actually, that's part of my training or part of my Qigong.
I've heard of candle meditation. My kids do candle meditation where we'll light a candle and they'll go into our infrared sauna and their task is to just study the candle for about 20 minutes. And it's great for a child's attention span.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I, of course, will sit on the back porch occasionally and work our way through a glass of wine in a half hour or so. But
that is
5 hours of tea is something I'll have to work up to. That sounds like a formidable task.
Yeah.
Now, a funny story for you. My children and I have been putting in your video each night, my 2 9-year-old boys, and we stand there in front of the video before bed, and we've been through your three dantians exercise, and your sword finger, and the chi ball, and even changing the taste of brandy.
Did you try
Although we used mom's kombucha instead of brandy, because I don't want the social workers showing up at my door when I tell people on the podcast my kids are drinking brandy. And we felt so great with it. And the funny thing is, my boys now ask me after dinner, even if, you know, when I was 9 years old, I wouldn't have even thought about doing Qigong. But after dinner now, they say, Dad, we need to go do our Qigong. And they go down there and they wait for me in the basement next to the TV. And I turn on the TV, one of the few times during the week when we actually use the TV, and we do another segment of your Qigong video. We're to video 3 now, almost done with video 3.
And then we'll
move on to video 4.
Whales exercise.
Yeah,
enthusiastic. Oh, yeah. Great.
They love it. Hmm. And you began studying, you know, they're 9 years old. Am I correct in that you began studying when you were 8?
Yeah, well, I was eight.
Tell me about that.
Well, a lot of people ask me, how did you learn it? How is it from your parents or your family? Actually, it's not. Before 8 years old, I have done nothing about Qigong or martial art. Actually, at 8 years old, I was sick.
You were sick.
Yeah, I was having a very severe pain on my chest. It's okay if I'm not doing anything, but whenever I ran, or if I jump, especially, the severe pain was like so hard. I can get fainted because of the pain. Of course, my mother brought me to the doctor, and they prescribed this or that, but it never changed. It's getting worse. So in the end, the doctor gave her the best prescription. To say, well, your son need a break. Maybe he need to quit school and stay at home, rest.
Oh, wow.
Which is good news for me because, you know, as a little boy, you hated school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that good news doesn't take long. Only 2 days, because first day, oh, good. Then I get bored at the end of the day, because you don't know. This other time, it was very colorful, because when it's the time of off work, all the other kids are in the community, you know. But when it's school time, they went to school. The adults went to work. And some go to kindergarten. Then I was alone. So it's not so much fun. So for 2 days, in the end, I was so bored that I have to find something more interesting.
Right.
So,
you're getting cabin fever.
Right.
Start crazy.
Right. Instead of staying at home, I snag out. Yeah. So then I find, you know, some ants. I observe more than 40 kind of ants because it's springtime. And beautiful. Yeah. Then I could begin to explore more further.
And you're just by yourself out exploring because you're not in school.
Yeah. Boring. Yeah. Find all the strawberries.
Uh-huh.
Then not far from my home, there's a wall. Actually, it's a resort hotel surrounded by walls.
And this Chinese, is in China.
Yeah. Chinese-like walls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
I think they've got the biggest one.
Yeah. You can see even from the moon, right?
Right.
Yeah. But that wall is not that big, of course, but high enough to stop us from going freely inside. Because my family, my hometown was a steel and iron plant. When China and Soviet Union were very close, they sent engineers and built that factory, actually. So that resort hotel was hosting the guests at that time. Then when they left, then it was a reception area for the VIPs. That's why an ordinary person, especially the boys and the girls, are not allowed to get in freely. So we had to go through the gate. Right. And the gatekeeper was very, you know, very bad.
Right.
So many times we jump, get over the wall, and jump inside. We visited there too, but not too deeply.
By the way, what year was this?
That was 1972.
Okay, so back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're just a little boy, you're exploring nature, you're not in school, and you're just wandering.
Yeah, just wandering. Yeah. The inside, I guess, because inside there is much, much more colorful than others. They have fruit trees, they have swimming pools, like other world. So I like to go there a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
Then one day I explore deeper, and then there's a red brick building and more big pipes connecting all the other buildings. It's a boiler room. So I snack slowly near the door of the boiler room. Then I saw a middle-aged man shoveling the coal there. And that was my master.
That was your master, the man that shoveling coal.
Yeah. Well, of course, I didn't know each other before that. So I snuck in and peeping. Then he saw me and said, "Oh, you want to watch the fire? Come in." Yeah. I think a lot of other boys did the same before, maybe.
Interesting.
So he was quite familiar with the little boys peeping then.
Okay.
Yeah, come in, watch the fire, don't burn yourself. Then, of course, we were in a conversation. "Why did you go to school?" I said, "I got sick, staying at home." He looked at me. Later, when years later, I learned the skills of healing. He was doing the healing on me by scanning with the gazing power.
Just with his eyes?
Just without touching even.
Interesting.
So not too long, I was recovered, actually, without noticing that. But of course, our conversation was, you know.
When you say not too long, do you mean you came back repeatedly to see him over several days, or was it just during that first time you saw him?
After that, I visited him every single day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Actually, when we left...
What drew you to him? What made him seem so interesting to you?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just like, maybe, you know, he looked like middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Like my age now. But he was already late 80s.
Oh, wow.
So he looked really like much younger than his age.
Right. Yeah. Perhaps he was an early adopter of anti-aging and longevity.
Yeah, because practicing Qigong, there's so much benefits.
I've certainly delved into some of the longevity, anti-aging,
for sure.
Anti-inflammatory, lower plasma cortisol, all the things that can cause accelerated aging, actually, very similarly to deep sleep and transcendental meditation, it seems to have very similar effects.
True, yeah. And you have a very young nature, too.
Right.
Yeah. So he's 80 years old, but he likes to have fun many times. Mm-hmm. When he's teaching me, he's serious, you know?
Right.
Yeah, then he's a very, very good child mood, and he can do a lot of fun things. So that's how we first met, Then when I left, he said, "Well, feel free to come anytime." Then, of course, I have nothing to do. I go every single day. Later, I joked, "So you didn't mean when you say this, just greeting, right?" Uh-huh. He didn't know I'm making it. He was laughing, you know. And I think it's nearly about several weeks later. He was such a wonderful storyteller. Actually, later I went there for the story, more for the story than for the fire. At first, I liked to watch the fire. But after a few weeks, one day from nowhere, he said, "Jihui, do you like wushu? Wushu means kung fu, martial art."
Okay.
In Chinese. I said, "Yeah, of course, yeah." And do you want to learn it? "Of course, yeah, I have no teacher. I can teach you." Well, before that, I have no idea he knows anything. The only thing I observe is that when he shovels the coal, he's so graceful. Mm-hmm. Like, that big pile of coal in the shovel doesn't look like heavy at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, not to interrupt and go down too deep of a rabbit hole or to make you feel self-conscious, but even just watching you right now as you're talking, your movements are they're fluid, they are graceful. I've noticed that about you on your videos too. It's almost, you know, not dancing isn't quite the best way to describe it, but it's fluidity. Fluidity and grace, which is what I've noticed myself after beginning to use these principles more during my workouts. When I'm deadlifting or breathing or running, everything seems more fluid.
That's
and
right.
So you began to study Kung Fu under this master.
Yeah, so I started Kung Fu or martial art. That's how I started. But when he raised this, I say, you know how to do martial art? I say, because he doesn't look like bulky, big man. He looks like ordinary. He's walking on the street without some other guys. Maybe the robber may take him as the victim, which will be very wrong, of course. But
he's not like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, he's like so ordinary. But when he's doing that, he's powerful martial artist. He can freeze a fierce animal by just bare hand, then freeze.
He can freeze a fierce animal?
I mean, freeze meaning like he can just disable the like big bulls.
You saw him do
wild,
this? To a bull.
Why, so many other things. This
my
is,
goodness.
Yeah, this is, he can talk, communicate with many birds and animals. Spiritually, use his hand gestures, then he can make the wild animals like a trained.
Yeah, this is very interesting, and I certainly for those of you who are listening in who are more scientifically bent, more left brain, there are some definite physiological principles that underlie this, related to the heart brain interaction and the electromagnetic field that the body produces, and one living being's ability to influence the field of another living being via their emotions, their movements, etc. So some of this is steeped in quantum physics and science. Mm-hmm. But you observe this man do these things, and he began to teach them to you?
Yes, yeah. Well, I started with martial arts, eagle claws, you know, horse stance. Mm-hmm. The horse stance is the first exercise.
Horse stance being a qigong exercise.
Qigong, both qigong and martial art. Because we have a saying, you practice martial art without qigong. When you reach to some certain level, it's very hard for you to reach higher. Because qigong is very good base for the martial art. Yeah. So the horse stance is give you a good base. You stand bending like riding a horse. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. Very hard.
Right.
Because this is like nearly 90 degrees.
An external rotation.
Yeah. Then he said 20 minutes. 2 minutes, you begin to feel burning chakras on your thighs.
Right. It wakes up your glutes, your external rotators. Absolutely. I've experienced that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
like an isometric contraction.
Yeah, it's challenging. So every time when I'm going to do that, I said, my God, I have to do horse dance. But then one day, I was expecting some grueling experience before having the fun exercise. Then a few minutes later, after starting horse dance, I got in a trance. It feels as if someone is pulling a stool under my butt. Then it's like you're sitting there without any chair, really. Then I was in a trance. When I come back from my trance, my master was very pleased because he knew that I crossed, like basically you cross one barrier. Mm-hmm. You transformed with energy. He said, you know how long you were there? 4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours, four stands, no move.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's after that, it began to feel the energy flow along the meridians is so strong. And then horse dance is never a grueling torture, but a fun.
You began to feel more energy flow through your body.
Yes, yes, yeah. And also feel the core here in the lower dantian, which is the lower torso.
Uh-huh.
It's much more anchored.
And we'll talk about the dantians later on. For those who haven't heard that phrase before, want to know how to awaken those. So and this guy in your book Master Key, where you talk about this story, this is the mysterious Mr. Tan. Is that who this is?
Yeah, well, he's his folk name, like his name when we in our communities is Mr. Tan, but his monk name, his Buddhist name is Xiao Yao. Yeah, Xiao Yao.
Okay, so you studied under him. And at what point did you begin your journey, taking like a deeper dive into this radical spiritual transformation that you talk about in the book? Because I know that you did like 100-day, you did like 100-day fast, and you moved on to a lot of things. And I assume this wasn't when you were 8 years old.
That's often more than that, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, because I started with martial art. At first, it's martial art, martial mm-hmm. art. I learned many forms mm-hmm. and getting stronger, getting stronger. Mm-hmm. Then you sort of like to like test or try.
Yeah.
And it happened one day, one of my closest friends, yeah, he was beaten by some gangs on the street. So I was fighting for him, and I got into the street fight. Of course, I won, but then I realized actually I was not so happy to fight with people. I was scared, actually. I won, but I was scared to death because I thought policemen would come, arrest me, and shot me. And also, especially when I have to visit to the guy that I beat in the hospital. He was 2 years older than I. As soon as I entered the room, he was still scared. Mm. But actually, at that moment, I have a transformation in my own self. I said, my God, he's just like another boy like me. Mm. Why at the moment when I was fighting, I was like a monster? Or he was like a monster in front of me. I just want to kill him. So I was sympathetic. I was feeling something wrong with me. Yeah. Of course, my mother was very sad. Was not happy. My master was very pissed. And the good punishment is to kneel down on the washing board. You know the washing board? Hand one.
Uh-huh.
So zigzags.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Then kneeling against the wall, then I have to kneel down for 2 hours.
On it's a washing board.
Washing
that
board.
That is painful. That's painful on a freaking wooden floor, much less a washing board.
And 2 hours. Well, the pain is nothing, actually. I was very painful, but, you know, the thing that I cannot bear was to disappointing my master. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I was feeling something not so right to fight. I mean, straight fight, especially. Mm-hmm. Then later on, not too after that, my master one day said, well, what I've learned, what I've taught you all this couple of years is you're laying very good base for your qi grounding. Yeah. And you can lead either ways. One is you keep practice. I teach you more forms. He teaches me how to use the brooms as a weapon, chopsticks, can stab. He can use a rope. A soft rope, then you put the energy in that rope, begin to tighten.
Now, are these all qigong practices, or is this taking the method of qigong and applying it to other martial arts when you're doing things like broomsticks and chopsticks?
Yeah, both. Okay. Yeah, if you just learn the martial art without qigong, this energy support, it's just a form.
You don't have the power.
You don't have the power.
It'd be like. Well, for example, one thing that I do is I play tennis, and I've noticed that now that I'm able to channel some of my energy, I can put more energy into the ball with less effort. And I would imagine, even though I'm not big into boxing and sparring, I've done a little bit of it, that similar concepts would take place when you are fighting. You'd be able to channel this energy, or striking, or running, or turning over the pedals on a bicycle.
Yes, I have many students. They are martial arts, top martial artists. But when they learn this qigong, they find the fist is much more penetrative. And other sports too, like some of them are golf player. Mm-hmm. They do the meditation, then they find the score is much better.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So it's good. It's very good. It's like alloy. You add this energy in your practice, then it's totally different thing. In another way, yeah. So that's how. That's why qi practice or qi is or qigong is actually is a lifestyle. It's right. Not something they think. Oh, only monks or some special people are doing in a exclusive place. You can apply it in your daily life.
Similar to meditation.
Similar. It is meditation.
It is meditation.
Qigong
that's
is
right.
Moving meditation.
When my boys and I do it, that's exactly what it is. It quote, counts, unquote, as our meditation for that day.
It
now,
is.
At what point did you do, because it's kind of interesting, I've had people talk about fasting before on the show. I recently interviewed Dr. Jason Fung, who talked about everything from intermittent fasting to alternate day fasting to the benefits in terms of longevity, of caloric restriction and self-control. Mm. You did a 100-day water fast, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, why did you do that?
Well, it was actually after I decided to quit martial art, and to do the next road that is more the healing energies.
And how old were you when you decided to take that route?
I think I was about 14. Mm-hmm. That was after my junior high school. Mm-hmm. Junior high school, it was, we finished junior high school, have a entrance exam for the senior high school, then we have a long break. And at that time, my master returned to the mountain already. Yeah. The mountain, his monastery. Because when I met him, he was working as a boiler room attendant, a hermit. Nobody knew he was a top martial artist and a legendary healer. I don't know whether you heard about Chinese Cultural Revolution. Started in 1966 and mm-hmm. ended in 76. We call it 10 years of disaster. Because at that time, no religion was allowed. So, of course, he, as a monk, has no place. The monastery was taken over by the villagers. Hmm. So he wandered to my factory to work as a boiler room. But after 1976, it's finished. In 79, he was called back to the monastery. So he was rebuilding the monastery. So before that, we were together for about 7-8 years. Almost every single day, I live double life. Yeah, my school life, then my martial art life. Hmm. Yeah, secret. It was secret.
Because your friends didn't know. Did your parents know?
Yeah, my parents knew later. Yeah, for the first 2 months, I even kept secret from him. That's number one thing he said. We practice with me, keep it secret. I was so good to keep secret from my parents even. But then my mother got a bit strange. She say, this little boy before, you know, so lazy in the morning. Now all of a sudden, get up at 5 o'clock, disappear for a few hours, come back home so hungry. So he said, what are you doing? Oh, I was jogging. She was not so convinced. So I told my master. Then he said, ask your parents to come to see me. So they went to see him. Quite, you know, surprised, because they never knew each other before. Then they talked for about 2 hours. I was kept out of the room, not allowed to get in. 2 hours later, they went out and said, oh, go with Master Tan. Go with Master Tan. So they kept secret for me too. Until the Cultural Revolution finished in 76, mm-hmm. then we begin to a lot of things recovered. Then Qigong is reaching to a high climax in China.
Like it's gaining popularity.
Getting huge popularity. The followers are thousands, millions of them. Yeah. So, so he was called back to the monastery and rebuilt it. So after that, I visited him every year, like 2 times in my summer and winter vacation. So it was after that, my junior high school, uh-huh. that break, I went there. He said, tomorrow we do the big one. Big one means empowerment. Oh, yeah. Because he mentioned many times. I was expecting it, but when it comes, it's really, yeah, because I know it is 100, we say 100 days, 注记, yeah, it means clarifications, because for this purpose is 3 things, yeah, 静体 means clear energy, clear your body, clear energy, 聚气, mm-hmm. concentrate the energy, because when it's clear, then the energy is flowing more smoothly. So anytime you need some energy that you bring your awareness to your fingertips, the energy all swamp there and do the healing. So the third part is bring out your potential power. So 3 steps. Cleansing, concentrate, potential power.
Okay.
Or healing of yourself or healing others.
Got it. Yeah.
So that is 3 steps. And it's during this 100 days water fast that you can make it very, very pure. Because ordinary lives, you have these distractions, the other distractions, eating all this, it is very hard to get it like vacuum clean things. Mm-hmm. So that is the purpose. Yeah, that is. And also spiritually, you can envision a lot of things. You can get so deep insightfulness of what can happen in your life. Like, you know, in our life, we have ordinary feelings we have, the feeling of pain, sadness, you know, cold, all this physical or emotional.
Right.
But when you're doing that meditation, all that feelings will lead to extreme. Like you, the pain you never experience in your ordinary life, you experience there.
When you are fasting, you mean?
You're fasting.
And so if you are lonely, then you would experience a higher degree of loneliness during an extended fast.
Right.
Or, now, is the same true for positive emotions? If you're full of positivity, like peace or love or joy or gratitude, would you also amplify those emotions through an extended fast?
And it's always going after that you go through this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, the most difficult one is the itchiness. It feels like
itching.
Yeah, it feels millions of ants are biting you. You feel, but any moment is
how many days into a fast do you start to feel itching like that?
Well, it goes through the organs, one organ after another. So every organ is emotional, is connected with some feelings. Then, first you feel the coldness, then you feel heat, then you feel itchy, then you feel pain. All these kind of things go. And you practice this, and the practicing is to actually just challenging them. Like when the first few times I was not so experienced, right. I meditate, it's so painful, then I open my eyes and just move my body a little bit. Then I'm fine. Everything disappears. You still feel okay, but then when you're in deep meditation again, it comes again. Mm. Until you really surrender, let's say, okay, I gave up. Even if I die, I go to the hell, I go through it. So the moment you surrender is that you're open totally.
About how many days into a 100-day fast do you experience something like that?
For the first, I think, 20 or 30 days, all this experience is like coming. When you finish this, then it won't come again. If you go through this, then the nirvana comes. Yeah,
and this is when you were in junior high.
Yeah, junior.
There's not many junior high boys who do a 100-day water fast.
No, it's not easy.
not of their own volition.
Yeah. Wow. And it's not only that you have to have a higher master who can guide you through.
And so was this guy checking in on you as you went, Mr. Tan?
He comes to see me every single day.
Okay.
Yeah, every time it's pitch dark.
You were in a small dark room this entire time.
Yeah, it's a little room. It's actually right on the. It's in the basement. Actually, the basement.
What about
of
your
the
parents?
Temple. Oh, they, no problem. Yeah, because they know I'm going to visit him. Then they feel...
Right.
Yeah. Because he's like our family member, too. Every now and then, he was invited to my family.
So they knew him and they
dinner,
trusted him.
So they trusted him. And
you were just
and
water.
Showed
you didn't have any vitamins or minerals?
No, the first 20 days...
No bone broth.
The first 20 days, three jujube. You know jujube? The Chinese dates.
Yeah.
Three jujube a day.
How about those tasted good?
That's the three meals. One,
yeah.
After 20 days, just water.
Wow.
The water I can drink as well, and no light. The only light I could see was when he come and see me, because he always hold an incense, like this long incense, lit already. So he came, you can only see all this coming. Then we talk in the darkness. He taught me in the darkness, meditate. Then when it really, really nearly reached to the end, it can last about 1.5 hours, I think, or even longer. Then he will go, then that light keep going, disappear. That's the only light I could see.
Wow.
Then the last, I think it was before 15 or 20 days before I finish, he began to bring some juice, then some fruit, and some thin porridge to help me transition. Mm-hmm. Actually, when I finished, I went out. It was night. So when I went out of the dark chamber. Mm-hmm. Then the second day, I opened my eyes. Then my eyes are not so shocked know, by the light.
Yeah.
But that meditation, that experience in the dark room is very risky if you don't have a powerful person. Because for some time, your breathing are so slow, it looked like a dead person. Because like if you put your finger on the nose, you cannot feel the air by breathing. Because maybe one inhale takes 20 minutes, exhale 20 minutes. So it's like we call this small death.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. Put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their sexual performance booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com.
And your body, I would imagine, is conserving a great deal of energy by limiting the amount of oxygen
that
it's taking in, because you have to produce far less ATP.
Yeah, small deaths, big life, because this is the total transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you touch the bottom. To make a comparison, if you want to clean a pond, you want to take out all the water, take all the mud,
right,
wash that, then refill the water, then we say totally clean, right? That was like that. That's why, you know, your body even like want to be dead, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like this. So when I was in that small death experience, he was with me all the time, all the time.
Wow.
Because make sure that the energy is moving smooth and moving across some barriers, because otherwise you might be a big death.
So during that period of your fast, he stayed with you to make sure that you didn't die.
So it was about 7 or 8 days.
Wow.
I was motionless.
Wow.
I was like just no conscious. But it was beautiful internally.
Wow.
But I didn't know he was beside me. He was guiding me through the energetically.
Amazing. Mm. And for people who are listening who might be nervous, there is not a 100-day water fast requirement in your Master Key program that I've gone through.
Yeah, I don't encourage you people just doing it on their own, because it's not a simple way of just not eating. It's a lot of some breathing, some exercises helps you to get nutrients from the air. That's why I didn't lose too much
helps
weight.
Helps you get nutrients from the air?
From the air.
Now, there's some people that of course, poke a lot of fun at this concept of breatharianism, people who believe they can only survive on air, and I don't believe that to be true at all, but tell me about the breathing that allows you to gather more nutrients from air.
Well, there are many breathings. You know, we're born with natural breathing, mm-hmm. but there are hundreds of kinds of breathing. There's one breathing we call navel breathing. Mm-hmm. Navel breathing is the way of your breath when you're still inside mother's body, because right. that is the connection with the mother. But the moment when you are cut off, the navel cord, when you're born, you know, you cry, right?
Right.
You cry. And if you don't cry, then the doctor, your parents, will get worried, because that means you're not completed.
Right.
According to the main energy system, the cry is to opening the channels of meridian. The first channel of the meridian is long meridian. That's why we cry to open the long meridian, then long, large intestine, stomach, and all this, 24 hours, make a circle. Then all your organs, energy, are connecting to each other according to the meridian. It's connected to your fingers, to your toes, all mm-hmm. this. So, so this... this breathing, then combining with another way, we call it body breathing, mm-hmm. and some special ways of controlling it, then you're not only breathing through your nose, you're breathing through your skin, okay. breathing through your hairs, yeah. And then something in the air, in the oxygen, I don't know scientifically.
This is a concept I'm actually not familiar with. Yeah. I could see in the same way that, for example, lipids or oils or even toxins are absorbed through the skin, mm-hmm. that you could absorb air through the skin or certain elements from the air. I also know of this concept whereby, and there's an interesting study that was reported on on the Green Med Info website about how when humans have large amounts of chlorophyll in their system from eating wild plants or dark leafy greens, that when sunlight hits your skin, you can actually photosynthesize and create ATP in the absence of calories in a very similar way to the way that a plant would produce energy. And so the idea that one might be able to somehow have an ionic exchange from air or some element of air moving through their skin or through their body just by breathing, it makes some amount of sense that you could at least sustain life for a certain period of time with that, although I imagine it isn't quite as satisfying as a turkey dinner.
Oh, of course. But the interesting enough is that when I was... That's something before I started Big One, the 100 days. My master told me, but I have the same kind of question or doubt. I say, what if I get hungry? What if I'm craving? But it's so interesting. I was feeling hungry or crave something to eat only the first few days. Then later, it didn't occur to me that I want to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's very satisfied. Yeah, satisfied in my stomach. And, of course, I didn't weigh, but I didn't look losing too much weight.
You actually see something kind of like this, on everything from the show Naked and Afraid to people who do long, 24, 48, plus hour fasts is you get to a point where your body begins to burn very efficiently ketones as an energy source. You start to break down the tens of thousands of calories of storage adipose tissue that you have on your body, and all of a sudden you become less reliant upon glucose. But the pathway to get there kind of sucks. You're definitely uncomfortable and hungry for a certain period of time before that occurs. Mm-hmm. When you came out of your 100-day water fast, was that when you started to begin to experience some of the healing powers that you tapped into?
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the purposes of my master, to try to sharpen my energy. They call it zapping, Zapping. Zapping is like, we can try it later after we finish. We can do a little mini sessions for you. That kind of feeling is like electricity. Mm-hmm. I had this when I was a little boy, before even I met my master. Because I have to focus for several minutes, then I press on you fingers, they go, boom, like static electricity.
Oh, wow.
I thought everybody can have this. But actually, it is a very special gift. My master must have realized this. Then he wanted to train this as my special power. So in this 100 days water fast, after the, all that cleansing experience, like I said, when it's cleansed, then the energy is concentrated and the potential power is super amplified. So before I have to focus for several minutes, zoom, it cannot apply in my healing. But after that, I can feel it's like can constantly go with my mind. I can lead it to your stomach, to your lung, through the fingers or through some energy channels, then the powerful healing can happen. Yeah. So people that get this, they can feel refreshed, they can feel their own potential power is activated. So in my treatment, I do a little bit of this to activate their own healing power.
So here in your office where we're at right now, we're sitting at your massage. We actually are recording on your massage table. This is a table one would lie upon, and you would actually take your chi, your energy that is in your own body, and you would actually touch people at certain meridian points to quote, zap them, unquote, or to cause your electricity to flow into them, your chi to flow into them?
Sort of like that. Well, it's not, first, it's not electricity. Because someone say, oh, it feels like electricity. Can you light the bulb? Mm-hmm. I said, why bother for me to light the bulb? Put it in the socket, right? So it's not my energy. It's the channeling. It's the transformation of universal energy. It's like we're like a medium. Yeah. We interpret the universal energies in the way that the clients or the patients can receive.
You know, so if someone came to you with, for example, back pain, you would touch them in certain parts of their body to cause that to disappear in a way?
Well, for a healing session, it's combined with some body work. Mm-hmm. We call it Tai Chi press. We press a lot. This is to make you more settled, more relaxed, then transform some energy and to open up. Because all the problem, or we say disease, in terms of energy is the blockages. Yeah. So whenever the blockages is cleared away, when the energy flows right, then healing starts. Mm-hmm. That's how.
That's the whole concept behind acupuncture, for example, right?
Right, right, yeah. So, you know, nowadays, because we have why we call it stress, it's a big killer. You know, stress is like, someone even say stress is the only factors that, you know, that cause our disease, which in some way is true, because the stress is like a hand holding you here, yeah.
Right.
And this hand doesn't let go. then your hands become numb because, you know, you cannot have the energy supply for you.
Tension.
Yeah. So all this, the stress is like this. But when you're doing the meditation, when you do the chilling, the qigong, or meridian, or acupuncture, whatever, the healing we call it, actually is like you pinch on that hands, then that stress release, then when energy flows well, that's how you get healed.
Is this like that video that I've seen on YouTube where you'll see this? I don't remember the guy's name. It's got millions of views, and he'll like come up to people and touch them, and then he's, you know, in his practice, and their limbs will twitch, like when he touches certain points, as though it is like a nerve that he's touching that's causing a limb to twitch. Have you seen this?
Oh, that
it sounds similar to the zapping concept you're talking
from
about
from Malaysia, right?
Indonesia. So.
Yeah. I met the producer.
Okay.
From England, I think.
It was a British show.
He visited me when I was in Australia, because I was in Australia for seven years. One of the my organizer called Celebrity Speaker. His organization organized speaking, so I was one of the members, and he was there. Then we met. He showed me the videos he filmed.
I don't remember. Someone literally sent it to me like 2 days ago. And it was perfect timing because I was watching. And, you know, I also interviewed a guy named Scott Dolly, who's a bodywork practitioner back in the U.S. And I'll link to that podcast episode if you guys want to go listen to it. Just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/pang. I'll hunt down this zapping video too and show it to you guys if you want to see what it's looking like. But I want to bring this full circle back to chi, because obviously there's a huge element of this that you don't need to go see a practitioner for. You don't have to use it to like fix an injury that you've had. But there, you know, there's this practice of Qigong that I've personally discovered and began to derive a great deal of benefit from. You know, it's a series of moves and breathing and all the things that you demonstrate in your videos. But tell me, first of all, about what you have discovered as far as the physical or the physiological benefits of this. You mentioned lower cortisol. You mentioned longevity.
Right.
What other things happen physically when you're practicing the kind of things that you demonstrate in your videos?
Well, the huge scope of the benefits. Well, basically, you feel your body more in harmony. So you feel you're young because it's such a good harmony, and all through the meditations, all the cells, the tissues is like you have a spring cleaning every single day for your room. Mm-hmm. It's always fresh. Yeah. So then you're sleeping better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have more restful sleep and you have very good mood. Very good mood. So physically, you have less pain. You get
lower blood pressure.
Yeah, lower blood pressure and a good appetite. In my master's words, they say you have six no worries. no worry for eating, meaning you have good appetite. Mm-hmm. You have good digestions. No worry, toilet. Mm-hmm. It's also digestions. You don't have, you know, colon things, the problems. Clean with it with the colons, and no worry sleeping. You have good energy. No worry energy, meaning that whenever you need to, you know, to use the energies, you can call it. Like say for example, today you have all of a sudden you have an assignment that you have to stay up the whole night. Some people cannot handle it. You can keep your energy high. Yeah. So all this and no worry emotions. The emotional balance is one of the most outstanding things. My master, he was the top monk, but at that time he was down as a boiler attendant. He has a million reasons to be very angry and resented, but I've never seen him to be angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was smile,
very zen.
Easy, very zen, and just so easy person, easy going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I try to learn a lot. I'm still like learning this learning process, but I find that is the most beneficial things for physics. Because when you are in a very good broad heart, you avoid a lot of heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because all this is from, it's not just physical; it is emotion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I recorded a very interesting podcast.
Cardiovascular
about
problems
this.
And pains.
In many cases, a heart attack is due to a combination of stress and
fatigue.
Poor minerals and hydration. It's a 1-2 combo.
That's right. Yeah. And fatigue, many things. I have people, they suffer from depression, severe depressions, fatigue, chronic fatigue syndromes. Yeah.
Wow. So if someone wants to begin with kind of like awakening their chi power and feeling chi, if they haven't done it before, there's all sorts of things that you demonstrate. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of this is more conducive to, you know, to someone like watching one of your videos versus audio. But you talk about sword finger and you talk about creating a chi ball and you talk about awakening your dantians by, you know, touching your third eye and feeling that light, and touching the middle dantian and the chest and feeling the light and the lower dantian. And my kids even got to the point where they just did a Spartan race. They did a mini Spartan race. And before they started, I came up on them. They're both standing facing each other, touching their upper, their middle, and their lower dantians. And they were doing that because they learned in your video about how you want to have balance between all three. You want a strong head, your upper dantian, a strong mind. You want a strong kind of core chest, your love dantian. You want a strong vitality, your lower dantian. And you want to be kind of firing on all cylinders. And I know in your video, you kind of teach how to awake each of those dantians.
Yeah.
And my kids were doing that before their race, which is brought joy to my heart to see them tapping into that.
Yeah.
But for someone who just wants to get started with their first Qigong exercise, what exercise do you think is best for someone to first awaken that qi power?
Well, to awaken the qi power in a way of game way, I mean, to arouse interest, changing brandy is very interesting.
Changing the taste of brandy.
Yeah, changing the taste of brandy. Because to do that, you don't have to be very powerful with the qi. As long as you follow the procedures that I introduce, then you focus. Because everybody has qi. Everybody has qi. Just now, you mentioned the Dan Tian. Dan, D-A-N, means elixir. Tian, T-I-A-N, means field, elixir field. So I have three Dan Tians, upper Dan Tian in your chest, middle Dan Tian in your heart, lower Dan Tian in your lower torso. They collect different kind of energies. The one upper Dan Tian collect energies of wisdom. When the energy here is strong, you feel like you are guided. Yeah, it's not logical, but anything happens, you make a decision, you feel as if it is guided, you make the right decision more likely. Yeah, it's like you have a good GPS, right? Yeah, they're always guiding in the general right direction. This is center of wisdom. And this center, when energy is strong and well here, you have good decision. You have good intelligence. Otherwise, you get very confused. Yeah, very confused, like GPS get malfunctions. That is upper Dan Tian. The middle Dan Tian collect energies associated with the feeling loved and feeling you're more capable of giving love, like you have a Buddha heart. But when it's very weak, then this Buddha heart becomes like a glass, easy to broken heart. Little shake, it's broken. So you always carry the broken heart. You feel like more likely to be the victim.
Right.
Of where you are or who you are. You know, some people always complain. Actually, in terms of energy here, it's too weak. They feel it's vulnerable.
Mm.
Yeah, even people beside him or her sneeze, then it's nothing to do with you, but you will find the chances. Why do you sneeze? What do you mean? Well, you know, find all this chance to make yourself feel miserable. That is because here is not so well developed with qi. We call it middle Dan Tian, or the wheel of love. Then the lower Dan Tian, lower torso, they collect energies to give you more vitality. When qi is strong here, you're like a juicy fruit, like you.
Yeah.
You don't feel tired easily. If you feel tired, you go sleep very quickly,
right,
and you rest. Then you have very good rhythm of go and rest. But when here energy is so weak, then that energy is very weak. Then you need to rest. You have time. You cannot. And when you need energy, you're not high enough. So all this are the main three energy centers that actually we cultivate. So when so you asked me about the good practice, we have a hologram palm empowerment to practice each one of
the hologram palm empowerment. Yeah.
Because the interesting thing is that someone can be very developed in one of the Dan Tian, then the other is very weak. That is the time we begin to feel the imbalance. Say, for example, you may have upper Dan Tian very strong, very developed, but middle Dan Tian underdeveloped.
You'd have a good, strong mind, but you wouldn't have a lot of love or caring or compassion.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah, if you don't have enough.
Like a smart asshole.
Right, or they feel depressed. You know, I have quite a lot of clients. They're very successful, millionaire, multi-millionaire. You know, but they feel depressed. They don't feel happy. Yeah, people will not stand this. You have everything. Why you're not happy? Everything but a good heart.
You could have like a strong middle Dan Tian and be happy and be full of love, but for example, like a weak lower Dan Tian, and not have vitality or courage or bravery.
Yeah, or lower Dan Tian also has another big power is that you're stern, your firmness. Like if you have a very big heart, but lower Dan Tian is weak, you know, many spoiling mother are like that type. So what happened? They sacrifice everything, but in the end, their children are treating them like a doormat. It's because while they're pouring the energy of love, they lose the power of vitality core. Then their firmness is shadowed. Or if you have very big heart, but upper Dan Tian is weak in your head, if you have this kind of neighbor or friend, they can be very lovely but annoying neighbor.
Right.
They might knock at your door at midnight, waking you up from deep sleep and telling you how to cope with your insomnia, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. And after reading about the imbalances, because honestly, you know, that if you think about it, there's six different imbalances you can be in, and then the seventh, which would be a strong upper, middle, and lower dantian, I've begun to be able to identify it, you know, in myself, for example. I'm relatively strong upper and relatively strong lower, but I need to work on my love and my empathy and my caring more. And I've noticed that when I'm doing this palm empowerment of the three dantians, and I believe that's what you call it, the three treasures exercise. Is that the one?
Yeah, three treasures is putting them together.
Oh, no, yeah that's right. Yeah. Four golden wheels. Is that the one where you're waking?
Yeah, four golden wheels. The exercise in my book, I have different focus. One, the hologram palming problem is more like a sharpener. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have some problem here, you just do it. It's more, you don't have to practice all the time. You just like sharpen it. Hologram palm of upper dantian, middle dantian, lower dantian, you do central meridian practice to hold them together. Because central meridian is very, very, very important channel. Yeah, it goes from top head to the perineum, shooting down to connect the earth chi, which is more grounding and motherly, and going up, connect with, say, the heaven chi, which is more expansive and inspiring. Mm-hmm. And they cross three dantians, so you are like an organic part of the chi. Otherwise, it's yard cell. No matter how developed they are, they're not in one unit.
So you always finish your hologram palm empowerment by ensuring that you're grounded to the earth.
Through central meridian,
And that energy is passing from the heaven down through your body.
Yes. Or you do a simple exercise called three treasures standing meditation. Uh-huh. That is a practice. 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's not very long. Yeah, and you have audios, too. And I keep those on my MP3 player. What I did, and this is what I would recommend to people listening in, I read your book to kind of learn the story and to study up on what Qigong is. And now I'm going through the videos so that I can see what each exercise from the three treasures to the four golden wheels looks like. And my goal is to be able to get to the point where I can just use your audios when I'm traveling and not have to see the video.
You got my purpose,
because
actually.
Because I know what you're doing. So that's kind of the way that I've stacked things. And I'll link to your book and your videos and your audios in the show notes, because, again, for those of you listening in, a lot of these things you need to kind of see and go through slowly. And I just want to introduce you at least to this concept. So you like that idea of, if someone hasn't done Qigong before, just learning how to awaken their upper, their middle, and their lower dantian using something like three treasures and four golden wheels
is the good one. Because for some people, standing meditation is a bit challenging if they have never done meditation or standing meditation before.
Right.
Four golden wheels is a movement practice. It's a lot of fun, and it's also easy.
My kids actually like it. They
shaking. They love the shaking.
They like the shaking. They like, and I was doing, even before I read your book, I used to shake for about 5 minutes each morning. I learned that from a Navy SEAL commander named Mark Devine. He told me every morning he wakes up, he does the Qigong shaking. So I started doing it. Ah. And you feel the nitric oxide coming out your fingertips, and you feel this awakening of energy and blood flow. And it's great for bowel movement and for lymph fluid and all sorts of things. But what my kids like is when we're doing the empowerment, you know, your hologram empowerment, where you pull like the pearl of light out of the upper and you move that around and you move to your middle and to your lower. A lot of times they're describing their light, and they're like, "Dad, it's a firefly. It's a great ball of fire. Yeah. It's a, you know," one of my sons the other day told me it was like a somersaulting hedgehog or something like that. They come up with all these crazy cool ideas, but it's fun to see them experience that energy. So four golden wheels, and for those of you listening in, I'll put a link to kind of like a YouTube demonstration of that as well in the show notes. But another question that I have for you, Robert, is, you know, in terms of a practice, you know, yoga would be like whatever. You might do a 60-minute yoga session three times a week. Mm-hmm. Or for weight training, you might do a 30 to 45-minute weight training session, you know, two to three times per week. For something like Qigong, is there a way to practice it that is best? Like, is it best to do tiny amounts each day? Mm-hmm. Is it best to do like one of your longer 45 to 60 minute sessions and just do that on like a weekend? Or how do you recommend for people with limited time to be able to implement Qigong into their lives?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the different people. Someone, of course, if you can commit longer, I recommend at least half an hour. But someone that don't even have that much time, 10 minutes is enough. for your daily practice. Yeah, if you want to say, I just want to have qigong for my sense of well-being. I don't want to be a qigong practitioner. I don't want to be a qigong healer. I just want to have a good benefit of qigong. 10 minutes is enough.
And when you're doing those 10 minutes, what is it that you would do? Like, how would you kind of go through a week? Would I do, for example, on the morning of a Monday, do my upper dantian, and on the morning of a Tuesday, my middle?
Yeah,
and
you choose
Wednesday a lower.
Yeah, it's good. You make a plan. Like you make a plan for a week or for a month. Mm-hmm. Then you find one that you want to try to start first. Yeah, it's hard for me to tell which one is the best one for any individual, but like say hologram palm empowerment for upper dantian, I want to do it for about a month. So every day you can do about a month. Then of course at the weekend you can combine with some other exercises to make it 1 hour or 30 minutes. But every day you can do about 10 minutes to refresh it. And very important one is not 10 minutes, it's 24 hours a day. Then they'll say, how can I do that, right? It's called nourishing qi. Now, in my book, I didn't put, that's what I wanted to do in my second edition,
okay,
to make nourishing part more reached. In my book, I didn't put too much effort on talking about that. But in my interview with Tammy Simon in my It Sounds True, you know, my Qigong Ecstasy video,
right,
or in my on my YouTube, I've interviewed it. I talked the whole 1 hour talking about.
On how to do Qigong for 24 hours a day?
Yeah, that's
give me a glimpse of this. Like, yeah, like you're not, are you talking about similar to a water fast where you're literally focusing on the whole day, or are you just kind of like carrying the Qi power with you throughout the day?
No,
like when I ride my bike back up through New York City today, you know, focusing on channeling my Qi into the pedals.
No, there are two ways. That's what my master, you're going to frustrate me, because his way of teaching is that you do this without telling you first. Then I try to figure out what is that. He said, you should do 24 hours a day. I said, how can I do that? I said, just do it. Don't ask, you know. Then he frustrated me for about a month. Then one day he's just using 1 minute to tell me, I remember forever. He called it ripen the melon. Watermelon, you ripen it before it is ripened. You have to, you take it and it's still stick there. But then you wait until it ripens, click, you go. So he waited until I really got frustrated, easy to understand. He said, I know you're working hard, practicing, but you need to nourish your qi. You need to allow the qi to work for you instead of you are driving the qi around everywhere. Because when you're practicing, actually you are manipulating the qi, right?
Right.
You're moving the qi, upper dantian, all this. This is the work. Then afterwards, you should allow the qi to get its own will to work inside your body. How to? Right. How to? He said, first, always dantian. Yes, it's amazing about dantian. But when we say dantian without specifically saying which part, it always refers to lower dantian.
Okay.
In lower torso.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's still not possible for you to think about lower dantian all the time. He said, anytime you are aware that you are a qigong practitioner, think about your lower dantian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Treat your lower dantian.
Why the lower? Why is it so much more important, your lower dantian?
Lower dantian is the lowest among your three dantians.
Uh-huh.
So it's also like a warehouse. Like a warehouse. Uh-huh. They store the energy.
Okay.
So anytime you say, after we talk, I put my hands on lower dantian, not only thinking, any way that you can treat or greet on your lower dantian, you can tap on your lower dantian, put your hand on your lower dantian, think about lower dantian, or even say good morning dantian.
Right.
Yeah. So the more frequent you greet on your lower dantian, the more refresh you made your qi. So
okay,
you make the qi home, then the qi generate. So the more authentic ways that qi works you.
And what would be an example of how, going throughout the day, you could keep that lower dantian activated?
Yeah. See, now when I'm talking, every now and then I put my hands on lower dantian.
I've noticed that. So you're actually connecting with it, with your hands.
Or here's another way to make you social. Is thinking your lower dantian is your holy baby. Hmm. if you have you have two twin sons,
I have twin boys.
Yeah,
I didn't give birth to them, but I witnessed it.
Although you know, although you are so far away, you're not here in New York. They are in Washington. Mm-hmm. But do you ever think your spirit is connected at all?
I do.
No. The spirit is never disconnected. Because anytime
I believe it is connected. Yeah.
Yeah, it is connected. So anytime you have some time, you take the pictures or you think about them. Mm-hmm. That is the way how you treat the Lord and Ten. So you and the Chi are constantly interactive. That's what we call it, nourish your Chi. That can make your Chi always simmering inside of you.
There's a lot of physiological benefits to that as well in terms of digestion, bowel movements, your gut-brain axis, a lot of things that, that are related to the way that you look and you feel and you perform the rest of the day when you take that invisible energy that you can feel flowing to your body and be able to direct it. And I mean, you know, I now, my personal physician back home, he's a Eastern medicine practitioner who does acupuncture when I visit him. And now I'm doing Qigong each night with my boys, and I'm tapping into the power of gratitude each morning by doing gratitude journaling. And I'm realizing that, you know, when you have a strong, fit body, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, you're biohacking your brain or you're studying and researching and teaching, that also is not enough. You have to have a strong body, a strong mind, and a strong spirit. And I think that Qigong is perfect for
integrating
that.
Integrating that. Yeah, and, that's true.
And your video, your Master Qi video, your Master Qi audios, and your Master Qi book, you know, for those of you listening in, I tried a lot of resources, and Robert's were the first ones that actually made sense. And I know that you practice what you preach, and your story, which you tell in detail in the book, is fascinating. And so
I'm just curious, how did you get to know my
Do you really
practice?
Want to know what I did? This is the way that I do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I will order about 10 different things off of Amazon from 10 different experts, and I'll go through them and read the previews, read the table of contents, read the chapters. Usually this is to Kindle, right? So I'm just sending the samples. Yeah. And the one that resonates with me the most, the one that I find most interesting, that's the book that I'll actually purchase and read in full. And then from there, I'll delve into that person and just follow that one person like a horse with blinders, kind of ignoring what the other
really?
People
Really? That's how you found
and
me?
That's how I found you, was I downloaded a preview of your book on Amazon, along with about 9 others. And yours was the most compelling, the most interesting, and the most educational, I guess, when it comes to this stuff. So I'll link to that in the show notes. For those of you listening, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/peng. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/PENG. And in the show notes there, I will not only link to some of Robert's books and audios and videos, but also his YouTube channel. I'll find you a video of that 4 Golden Wheels exercise. I'll link to my previous podcast episode with Scott Dolly, where we talk quite a bit about creating chi balls and all sorts of interesting things. And then also perhaps I'll even throw a good link to some Kung Fu tea resources out there for those of you listening in. Robert, thanks for letting me come and invade your office and arrive sweaty after riding my bike to New York.
You're more than welcome.
Your face, man.
It's such an honor. It's such a pleasure to meet you in person. You know, when you send the invitation, of course, I began to study, and then they said, "Whoa, you had such a great talent." You know, to make things all happening together around you, and you are creating your own powerful community. That's good talent.
Well, my hope is that I find things that really make people's lives better,
we're on the same track.
Reveal that to the world. So you've been a great help with that today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks
for
coming on the show, man.
Oh, thank you very much, Ben.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.